You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap Show for Season 11, Episode 1, titled, Whatcha Unpacking? My name is Joe Batanz, and I am joined, as always, by one silky co-host. From the podcast pod is my co-pilot. Please say...
I'm currently oozing.
To Taylor, the latte boy. Hello,
attitude
Taylor.
Attitude check!
Fuck you, bitch!
I did not know you was going to do that.
So, Taylor, we have a lot to get to right now. So why don't we do this? Why don't we just jump right into the show?
Yes, we have a lot to cover today. I agree.
We do. This week, 15 brand new girls walk into the workroom and check their attitudes. Vanjie hides from the other queens but quickly becomes one of the girls, and she and the other contestants participate in a photo shoot with some former contestants. For the runway, the girls have to combine their drag styles with the looks of some Drag Race legends. Miley Cyrus kind of spies on the girls, Silky gets on all of America's nerves, and we get a sneak peek at a new web series called Sis with Soju. In the end, Brooklyn Heights was named the winner of the challenge, leaving Kahana Montrese and Soju in the bottom two. After a lip-sync battle for their lives, Kahana was told, Shantae, you stay, while Soju was asked to be the first queen to sashay away. Taylor the Latte Boy, name two things you liked about the episode and one thing you did not.
Well, one thing I would like to add to your introduction is that apparently Soju is the first queen ever to place 15th on the show.
Good. Go Soju.
Go Soju. So oh, Soju.
You know what? I got to tell you, I cannot believe I
it's
forgot
not Soju?
To do this. No, I can't believe I forgot to do this. I'm sorry. Breaking news. Friend of the show and AfterBuzz TV host Jay Ellis texted me this week and said the following. Let me actually pull that up. I was just showing a friend earlier today. He said to me, I had the same experience / interaction with Soju as you did at DragCan. We stand together.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. For people who thought I was lying. This Soju, what a sourpuss face on her. Miserable. Miserable.
And we haven't even gotten to her look on the runway.
Exactly. A miserable human being.
So, okay, two things that I liked about the episode and one thing I did not. Two things I liked about the episode. I just have to come up with just two things I liked about the episode.
Yeah.
Only two. Not one, but two. Mm-hmm. Two things. I liked the challenges.
Okay.
I liked the challenges. I think that both challenges would have been better served to be, both were maxi challenges and given time to breathe a little bit. And kind of a dovetail into that for the second thing that I liked was I always enjoy watching the old contestants come back. The previous, you know, sisters coming in and welcoming the new contestants into the fold. So that'll be one is I did like the challenges. I liked Miley Cyrus as a judge. I thought that she clearly loves the show, that she clearly gets it. She seemed to be having a very good time. And it's always much more fun to watch judges that are clearly fans of the show versus ones that are there to promote something. So I like that. The thing I did not like, I have a feeling we're going to be talking at length about the person that I did not like, which would be Silky. Silky's behavior this episode. How about you?
Two things I liked. You know what? I actually did like the challenge. I like the photo shoot challenge. I think, you know, historically, I'm glad they're going back to that. I've always liked a photo shoot for the first episode challenge. I've always thought that's a great first episode challenge. And I don't even think they need to go as extravagant as they do, where they bring in each queen and they pose them. But I thought it was a good challenge. I thought the mini challenge was good. Again, I wish they allowed it more time to breathe, you know. But, like, in other words, you could have eliminated... I wasn't a fan of the Miley Cyrus segment.
I didn't say of the segment. I didn't say of the boy drag.
You
I
said
meant
it was your
was
favorite
drag
moment on Drag Race history. But we'll move
ever.
On.
I edited
it out because I was so embarrassed, if you're listening later. Anyway, I didn't want to tarnish a show with Taylor saying that, but it was a 10-minute
rant.
No, it wasn't a rant. It was a eulogy for Miley Cyrus's segment. Anyway, the point is that... I thought it was a good mini challenge. I actually think it was a good maxi challenge too. I think the maxi challenge was good. I think this is exactly what you said, right?
Yeah.
But I had no problem with it. Some of the queens, because you know what? It actually, even though they didn't make a big deal about it, it was kind of it was a design challenge. It was a creative sewing design challenge, which they haven't really done for a maxi challenge, not as often as they used to in the beginning,
right?
And so that was nice to see, and I thought it was a good way to bring it back and bring back the old queens and the history. You know, to be honest with you, I think bringing back the old queens in the mini challenge and then the maxi challenge, even though thematically they work, I feel it was a bit much, though. Does that make sense? So, like, it was like all these old queens on the first batch and then more old queens coming back. It was just it was all old queen, old queen, old queen, former queens, former contestants, which is fine.
Okay.
Second thing that I liked, I've said this before, there are actually some cute boys. I'm going to revise some of the things I said. Brooklyn Heights is cuter than I thought once I saw her walking around as a boy.
Yeah.
Okay. And also, Honey Davenport, was also, I thought, very, very cute as a boy. I didn't notice it the first time I had said that. Oh! Last time I spoke to friend of the show Alex Lefebvre, who asked Honey Davenport directly why Monet Exchange doesn't have his last name. It turns out, and then I thought of a million cases where this is true. We should have just known this. When your drag daughter does not have to take your family name. So, for instance, Aquaria isn't Aquaria Needles. You know,
okay.
Violet Tchotchke isn't Violet exclamation point. You know.
Oh, God, I forgot that that's her drag mother.
Yeah. So,
I forgot Dax is her drag mother.
So Honey Davenport responded directly to the question saying your drag daughter does not have to take your family name. The one thing I didn't like, you know, I'm going to tell you something. I did not like the way RuPaul looked in this episode.
You mean for the runway look?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, girl, we're going to talk about that later. I have thoughts. I have critiques.
Mm-hmm.
I have thoughts. That's probably one of the worst outfits she's ever worn in the history of the show. Calling it now.
Who are you calling?
Rue. Okay. To the carpet.
Okay. Very good. Those are the two things I like. Any other things you want to add to what I just said, what I didn't say before we go on to the break?
No, I think that it will be an interesting... If this episode is indicative of what the season's going to be like, mm-hmm. It's going to be a interesting season.
Oh, very good. All right, well, we'll leave it at that. We'll be back right after these words.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
All right, spring is here. And with spring comes more social events. Now, for a lot of people, that's very exciting because they've been sad because they've been so alone during the winter. This is super exciting. But for a lot of people, I'm somewhere in the middle, this can be very draining, okay? You have to go to a bunch of social events. And it for me, at least, it always seems like when it rains, it pours. So there'll be a weekend where I'm doing nothing. And then there's a weekend where I have to do 10 million things and be in 4 million places all at once. And it's very draining. Have to entertain people and talk to people and be on all the time, completely drains your social battery. Believe it or not, therapy can give you, and this is what I've learned, some self-awareness about how to set boundaries, how to say yes to things, how to say no to things, and how to keep your mental health safe. I have personally learned how to do this through therapy. It's been very helpful for me. It's how I keep my sanity, even when it seems like there are too many things to go to. If you've been thinking of starting therapy, do me a favor. Give BetterHelp a try. It's totally online. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to park anywhere. You do it in the comfort of your own home. And it's designed, it's even created to be convenient, flexible, and totally suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragrace today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragrace. And we're back. After the workroom entrances, RuPaul entered the workroom to welcome the girls to the competition. She immediately launched into the week's mini-challenge, a photo shoot. Each of the girls took photos inside of a set made up to look like RuPaul's house. Well, quote-unquote house. Even though I would love it if she had the pictures of former contestants all over her house. As a surprise, a different former Drag Race contestant each posed with a different drag queen. The girls were paired up as follows. Scarlet Envy was with Raja, and we're going to go over these. Sugar Cane was with Jasmine Masters. Honey Davenport with Manila Luzon. Raja O'Hara was with Ginger Minj. Vanessa Vanjie Mateo was with Pheromone. Brooklyn Heights, Angina. Plastique Tiara was with Sonique. Soju was with Porkchop. Ariel Versace was with Eureka O'Hara. Nina West was with Raven. Mercedes Iman Diamond was with Delta Work. Kahana Montrese was with Derek Barry. Akira Davenport was Kimora Black. Silky Nutmeg Ganache was Mariah Balenciaga. And Evie Oddly was with Adore Delano. We'll come back to those. The girls were... Okay, but that after all was said and done, Silky Ganache was named the winner of the challenge. Taylor, your thoughts on this photo shoot mini challenge? Well,
as I said, I liked the idea of the challenge, and I also feel like this is something that could have been its own episode. If they're really going to do like Rue said, where they're going to have queens, this is going to be the season of returning queens, kind of everybody kind of coming back occasionally and popping up places, that sort of thing. Then this could have been something that could have been next week's episode.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I liked a lot of the pairing. I thought some of the folks that they brought out were people we haven't seen in a while, at least not on Drag Race proper, particularly Raja being the first one to come out. I thought it was very, very cool that we got to see Raja in something other than the fashion review. It was weird that some of them they interviewed afterwards as far as how they thought the queen did, whereas other ones they just kind of burned through them really fast. Mm-hmm. And why I think this could have been a maxi challenge for a week is that you could have had where each person got a segment, much like they do when the queens have to do, you know, for example, we were talking before we started taping, you played the famous Bam from Alexis Mateo, where they all had to do little promos for the USO.
Bam! And,
so I think that they could have very easily done that and not only given us a chance to get to know each queen a little bit more, but also brought back the queen, had a little bit of an interview where the previous queen had said, oh, I thought they did really great, or they didn't know what to do with me. The one thing that I thought of with Vanjie, where Vanjie pretty much covered up Pheromone and like had her where she was up, it didn't make a whole lot of sense. And I think to have where there was a little interview about that, and they could have lengthened that out, and that would have been enjoyable. Plus, you also... it felt very, you wanted to know which queen was going to be returning next. And I think they could have played that out a little bit and that people wouldn't have necessarily known. I would have sat through a commercial waiting for the next queen to be revealed with the current contestant. So in short, I liked it. I would have liked it to have been longer. Which is the name of my sex tape. Go ahead.
I'm going to tell you something. I was looking at this list of people who came out for this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they filmed this, for those of you who don't know, they actually filmed it much earlier than usual, I think, to accommodate Rue's television show she has coming, her filming schedule. So usually they film these in July. And they also filmed it backwards. So this was actually technically filmed before All-Stars. All-Stars 4 was filmed after season 11.
Okay.
And they started filming in season 11 like in early-ish May, early to mid-May. Okay.
Wow, that's really early.
Yeah, they started filming in early to mid-May. Vanjie had to take a break to go to the finale. They had to stop filming and they had to take a break to go to the finale. Okay. And so what happened was, you know what? Then it was like right after Labor Day. No, Memorial Day. It was right after Memorial Day because they had just started filming when she had to take a break. Anyway.
Okay.
And you can tell the people they had showed up. There are people, a couple of people, you know, okay, like for instance, Raven and Delta Work, they do Rue's makeup and hair. Easy get.
Okay. Yeah.
Then you have Raja, who's there for Fashion Photo Review. She works for World of Wonder. Okay, easy get. Okay. I don't have an explanation for Ginger Minj. Okay. I don't. But let's go.
Are you sure about that?
Well, hold on for a second. I think she'll just do whatever she does. Jasmine Masters, she wants to get on All Stars. Okay.
Okay.
Manila Luzon, she wants to get on All Stars. Pheromone, oh my God, she was telling anyone who would listen she wanted to get on All Stars. Angina, she wants desperately to be on All Stars. Sadly, doesn't get on.
Right.
Sonique doesn't make it to All Stars, but she makes it on the Christmas special.
Okay.
Pork Chop. Was Angina on the Christmas special?
No.
Pork Chop? Was she on the Christmas special?
No.
Oh, see? But Pork Chop shows up to everything.
Yeah.
Eureka O'Hara will show up to the opening of an envelope. So that's not
true. And Eureka O'Hara was in the Christmas special.
She was in the Christmas special. Delta Work works for Rue. Derek Barry has made it very clear that she wants to get on All Stars. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Kimora Black would love nothing more than to get on All Stars. And this, by the way, saying that she doesn't eat GMOs, or they have GMOs, like, bitch, you... they are a GMO. So no way, she didn't say that. She said she doesn't eat anything with GMOs in them. Okay.
She can't spell GMO.
Yeah. True. Anyway, Mariah Balenciaga has made it very... In fact, I'm surprised Mariah Balenciaga hasn't been on. She does so much for World of Wonder, kissing their ass, sucking their dicks just to get on All Stars. They have not put her on. And then
maybe she's looking for an All Star 5.
Maybe. She thought she was going to get an All Stars 4. And then Adore Delano. Okay, this is a whole sad conversation, but I don't know if Adore Delano is necessarily in the best place, or at least was then. You know?
Okay.
So, and I feel that she's friends with them. They can get Adore, you know, but Adore's career has been suffering lately.
Yeah, but isn't Adore also an LA based queen?
She is.
Yeah.
She is. So, but Adore could be a whole conversation right there. I'm just saying, not all of them. Clearly, Adore doesn't need to, she doesn't want, we know she doesn't want to be on All Stars, you know? Ginger was already on, but a lot of the queens, I think, were doing a big favor to World of Wonder. And by the way, after you do, look, listen to this. Raja, Jasmine, Manila, Ginger, and then it strangely suffers for a while. And then it's Farrah, Angina, Sonique, Porkchop, Eureka. And then you get Raven, Delta. And then it's Derek, Kimora.
Kimora is one I didn't get. Kimora is one I didn't understand.
Is anyone looking for Kimora? And then you always want to end strong, so you end on Adore Delano.
Yeah.
You know? So, it was not pretty. But other than that, it was fine. I never understand on the photo challenges how they choose the winner. Silky's was good. I think they didn't make a big deal about it, but I think it was they were also judging how well you directed the queen.
Right. That was kind of, I thought, more of the challenge was to, because somebody in the beginning didn't really know what to do with their, when, whoever had Delta.
Mercedes
didn't seem to know what to do with Delta, and Delta, and like Delta was trying to help her as far as, do you want me to do anything? Do you want, and Mercedes just seemed lost.
Yeah.
Which I also get, it's their first day. Yeah, and it's, by the way, could be very overwhelming.
But also let's think about this because you have to understand there are some queens like Soju and obviously Vanjie and Ariel Versace because of her wig business, which I know is a big deal. Like some of these queens, Nina West, they already work with these queens in some capacity. This is not, not impressive, but it's not as intimidating. But you have some like Mercedes Iman Diamond, who's from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And she's like, all of a sudden you're on RuPaul's Drag Race. RuPaul is standing right there and you have to tell Delta Work, who you know does RuPaul's hair, where to go? Yeah. It must be very, very intimidating.
Well, and I think it was Akiria. Who was Manila with Akiria?
Manila with Manila was with Honey Davenport.
Honey, and she said, "This is my drag niece. This is my adopted drag." So, I mean, some of them, yeah, there was clearly a there was a connection there.
Well, also, Akuria was with Kimora Black, but also you have where is it? Oh, Kahana Montrese is a Vegas queen. Derek Barry is a Derek Vegas.
That was another one that I thought, well, they probably know each other because I would assume Derek and Coco used to work in the same show, right?
Yeah, I think they did. Yeah, because Coco does Janet, right? And Derek does Brittany. I don't know. I'm sure some of the people from... You know what? This Sirfetch97 in the chat room, he's from Vegas. He might know.
Okay.
Anyway. All right.
Is he from Vegas?
Sure is. Sirfetch97 lives in Las Vegas, Nevada. Why, Taylor? Does that excite you?
Why? Everything about Sirfetch excites me. But I thought Sirfetch lived in Seattle for some reason.
Nope. That's where former boyfriend of the show, Aiden Deem, lives.
Oh. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Glad I could pick at that scat for you.
All right. No, it doesn't bother me. In fact, I owe him a phone call. Today was a day of the ex-boyfriends. Aiden called me and Cameron texted me. All right, moving on. Back in the workroom, the girls got to see each other out of drag for the first time. Brooklyn Heights and Vanjie seem to have the hots for each other, while Soju has a crush on Scarlet Envy. After the boys removed their drag, RuPaul entered the workroom to announce this week's Maxi Challenge. The girls need to create their own legendary looks using the junk in the trunks of some legendary queens. Earlier, the pit crew had walked into the room with some steamer trunks labeled with the names of Drag Race royalty. Because Silky Ganache had won the photo shoot, she assigned each contestant with a box. She assigned them as follows. Silky got Peppermint. Scarlet Envy got Violet Tchotchke. Akuria got Bibe. Evie got Alaska. Soju got Kimchi. Ariel got Laganja Estranja. Brooke got Detox. Kahana got Katya. Raja got Kennedy. Mercedes got Bianca. Nina got Thorgy. Remind me to talk about this Thorgy costume they had there. Suga got Sharon. Plastique got Sasha. Honey got Ben. And Vanjie got Valentina. Taylor the Latte Boy, your thoughts on just the actual concept of the challenge itself and sort of the reaction to getting those boxes.
The idea for this is a great idea. Again, it brings back to the history of the show and that it seemed like there was a wide selection of different types of queens. Mm-hmm. Some of the choices seemed a little odd for mm-hmm. Silky to choose, but my first thought was to give Evie Sharon versus Alaska, even though I know that's sort of within the same family of type of queen.
Mm-hmm.
That was one that stood out. But some of them made sense. Nina with Thorgy. I mean, Nina strikes me as somebody that could be very clown-esque mm-hmm. when needed to be, sort of with that comedy type, and that's something that Thorgy likes to think she is.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they were telegraphing when Plastique was saying, give me Violet, give me Violet, give me Violet, that she was never going to give her Violet seemed a little... And they kept flashing back to her.
Mm-hmm.
Just seemed... I don't know if we're setting up a storyline for later on or if that was just lazy editing on the producer's part.
I think they're trying to make something dramatic that wasn't very dramatic.
Yeah.
Like handing out boxes. Because she landed... Because ultimately, I could see if it was interesting if like... Then they gave her Bianca or something like that, you know? But she landed up getting Sasha Velour, who she did a great job with, just as stylish.
Yeah.
So, I thought it was a good idea for a challenge. I actually think Silky, and she said this in her confessional, she wasn't trying to fuck anyone over. She wanted someone to do the best they could do, and I think she did a pretty fair job. Would you have made any changes? How would you have done it? Let me see here. Like, Silky, do you think she should have taken Peppermint? Do you think that was a good choice on her part?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
Scarlet with Violet Tchotchke.
Yeah, that makes sense. They're both kind of that. They both have that sort of 50s glamour or 60s glamour style as far as their makeup and hair goes. So that makes sense.
It's so funny. Someone on Reddit said that Scarlet looks like Pearl and Tammy had a handsome baby.
Yep.
You saw that comment? It was so funny.
I didn't see that comment, but when I see... I tried very hard in the Meet the Queens episode to not do the she's this season's whatever, but I definitely get very much a Pearl vibe from Scarlet Envy, only with a little more personality.
Well, she has to have 1 degree of personality to have more personality.
Well, that's...
I think with Scarlet, I actually, thinking about what I know about her, I think I would have probably gone with, like, I'm looking at here. I think I maybe, and I was thinking this, but I'm going to stick with it. I'm thinking I would have gone with Katya for her. I don't know why, but there's something that seems screams Katya with her. What about Akuria?
Akuria had...
BB. Oh, she did a great job with that. Akuria had BB Zahara Benet.
Well, I mean, yeah.
She did the wigs. Sure. I mean, she did a good job. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Evie had Alaska. Would you have given her Alaska?
I would have given her Sharon.
Interesting. Soju had Kimchi. Little on the nose.
Yeah, a little...
Ariel had Laganja Estranja.
That one didn't necessarily work for me. I mean, as far as who you would give to that, I would give somebody that maybe was a little lighter, like in personality, rather than Laganja. Because Laganja's personality was so heavy-handed with the whole, yes, Mama God slay, that I would have probably picked somebody else. But
I'll be honest with you, looking at this list, I don't know who I would have given Ariel. Ariel, sorry.
Who's left?
I don't know. I'm looking at the list, but I don't know. Brooke had Detox. Would you have given Brooke Detox? I mean, she'd won.
But... I think she won, so obviously it worked for her. But I think that Brooke looks like somebody who is very tall with strong facial features, which Detox is known for that. So, that one makes sense.
I might have given her... I think it's a good one, but I might have given her Thorgy. I might have given her Thorgy, yeah.
Yeah, but then if you're switching people, then I know you could get into this if we're switching everybody. Nina and Detox wouldn't be a good match. Of course, Nina and Thorgy wasn't a good match, but
true. Kahana and Katya. Well, I would have given Katya to somebody else. Kahana, who would I have given her? See, I don't know if there's anybody on this list that I would have given Kahana.
What would have been funny if she had a box? Would have been an Alyssa Edwards box.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
What about, let's see here. Raja had Kennedy. I'm seeing if there's anyone interesting. Nina, would you have given her anybody different?
Nina had Thorgy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would have given her somebody different. I'm not sure who. Just because it, no, that's not true. Nina, I just got done saying Nina, because Nina is sort of got that, you know, clown personality as far as her look. Mm-hmm. And I think that Thorgy, that makes sense.
All right. Let's move on. Later in the workroom, the girls open the boxes and play with the contents. Vanjie is nervous that she won't get a chance to redeem herself. Soju is making her first dress and decides to go with a shapeless traditional Korean gown, despite Vanjie's warning to avoid that type of silhouette. Meanwhile, Nina knows how to sew, but recognizes she's not very good at it, while Kahana Montrese feels she can perfectly combine her style with Katya's because they have so much in common. Taylor, your thoughts on everything that happened in the workroom. I intentionally left... all things Silky out. Silky's going to get her own segment. So,
okay.
Yes, I know Silky was a part of this, but.
Yeah. Here. Okay, good. I was going to ask, because that's something where we're talking about Silky now. The whole thing of where Soju doesn't seem to know what she's doing versus Nina seeming to be overwhelmed was very interesting, because you have Nina, where Nina is known to be a very seasoned queen. And we also talked about on Meet the Queens, whether she wondered if anybody would know who she was. And then it was talked about in this segment that somebody said she is a legend. She is a legend in our world. So obviously there are people that do know who Nina West was. The one with Nina was harder to watch than Soju, because I think Nina, I can only assume, sort of figured, I've got this covered, I know what I'm doing, and then immediately recognized just how different this show is than maybe what she was expecting, which you hear a lot with queens when they walk on. They said it was so much harder than I expected, that kind of stuff. But that's with queens that people have never really heard of before, other than in their local hometowns. Nina's somebody that's known nationally, so to watch her go through that, I think, was a little harder to see, because she just seemed so overwhelmed with, she didn't know what to do. The Soju thing, again, if you have somebody like Vanjie going, you're not forming a shape. Trust me on this one. You're going to want to have some sort of shape other than just be wrapped in tulle. And you're not paying attention to that. You sort of deserve to go home.
Interesting.
You know, she is the one person, you know, they talked about this in Untucked. Where they say, you know, she is the one person in the room that knows what this process is like and kind of what the judges are looking for and what it's like to be eliminated. So if she can give, if you are not listening to her, you know, and she's not saying something that sounds like she's trying to fight, because it's not like she was saying, girl, you should just wrap yourself in tulle. They'll love that. Mm-hmm. That's different. She was saying, trust me, this isn't going to work for you. You're going to want to do something else and you don't do it. Whatever. Girl, bye.
Yeah. Which is you had her pegged for Miss Congeniality.
I know. And she didn't seem like a horrible person on the episode. She just seemed very, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yes.
She seemed very much of somebody that we will, I don't want to say make fun of, but when we talk about classic queens and we say things like Penetration and The Princess, mm-hmm. and Nicole Page Brooks, mm-hmm. I have a feeling that Soju is going to be added into that mm-hmm. group of queens.
Mm, interesting. Donna Sugars. Okay. So I want to comment here, because I'll probably forget to comment on this on the main stage. Kahana Montrese goes in this huge thing in the workroom where she says, you know, like, there's so much I have in common with Katya, that we're both gymnasts, we both do this, we both do that, like, and then I'm more this, but she's more that, but we have all this in common. Then she gets in the main stage and she's in trouble and she's crying and she's like, well, the problem is that I'm more of a this kind of queen and Katya is this kind of queen. And I'm like, wait a minute, you just said a day ago, you said we have so much in common. Ugh, the crying and the excuses on this show were unbelievable.
Yeah, I would like to talk about that at length towards the end of the episode. Because I have some thoughts to sort of sum up, kind of also incorporating Untucked a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I used to have, I don't want to try and find it now, but I don't have it labeled, but I used to have RuPaul say, I don't want to hear more goddamn excuses anymore.
I feel like there's going to be I don't want to hear any goddamn excuses.
Well, look, this is a rumor, but this doesn't have any spoilers attached to it, so we're safe here. But there's a rumor that at some point in the season, producers took the girls aside and were like, you guys need to fucking step up, because right now we're in season 7 territory. Right now, by the way, I'm one of the believers that season 7 got a bad rap, but that the rumor is that they told the girls, you want to be the next season 7? Step up your pussy. Like, that they got a talking to. I also like that Ariel had a Laganja Estrange and she was working under the table. That was a cute moment, too. Mm-hmm. They kind of just kind of glossed over. All right. Let's talk about Miley Cyrus. Pop superstar Miley Cyrus went undercover as a sound man in the workroom. She was recognized almost immediately by Silky Nutmeg Ganache, who carried her around the workroom singing Wrecking Ball. Miley talked briefly to the girls before heading out to get ready for the judges panel. Silky Nutmeg Ganache, throughout the episode, managed to get on everyone's nerves. Silky needs more fabric, despite the alarming fact that she's standing in front of the fabric wall. Instead of working on her dress, Silky gets on everyone's nerves. When she tries to do an attitude check, the response is icy, to say the least. Silky takes up Miley's time and space. The girls start to complain among themselves that Silky is already getting to be too much. Taylor, I know you've been waiting to talk about Miley Cyrus in her segment. So, what do you have to say right here, Taylor the Latte Boy?
Okay, so is this where we're talking Silky talk?
This is where we're talking Silky talk. You can talk a little Miley if you want to in the workroom.
Okay. All right. Something that I saw, something is because unfortunately now I go on Reddit. I don't look at spoilers. Sure. I don't look at rumors, but mm-hmm. I definitely am on Reddit now. Joe got me to drink the Kool-Aid and I'm on Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said something that has stuck with me particularly through the Miley Cyrus segment.
Sit down, Tubby.
Can you imagine if Eureka had picked up Lady Gaga and swung her around like that?
Oh. Mm-hmm.
What would have happened?
Mm-hmm.
I get that Miley was being a good sport about it.
Mm-hmm.
That there was parts of that looked terrifying. Mm-hmm. She looked scared.
Yeah.
At what, when she, with the way that she, Mimi, I'm first at her and like picked her up and mm-hmm. spun her in the room with her. This Silky Nutmeg Ganache.
Yeah.
she needs to do some damage control in the next couple of episodes, or she's in trouble. Mm-hmm. Molly, you in danger, girl, because the level of extra that she was, far too much. I don't get it, because we've all had, and I can say this as somebody where you get in situations when you're around new people and you're on, okay, and you start to take it too far. You know, you start to get a little too ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba-ba. Mm-hmm. And you read the room and realize that, you know, when you're yelling the proverbial attitude check and nobody responds back, mm-hmm. that, okay, I need to turn this down a notch. She seemed unwilling or unable to do that. And that, to me, is a problem for her. And it's going to be a problem for me to watch her, because when she first came in with the cookie and she kind of threw out three catchphrases before she even got to the table, mm-hmm. I was kind of a little, oh, okay, we get it. You want to have your catchphrase. You want to do that kind of stuff. But within the first couple of minutes of when they were all together, my husband and I would just roll our eyes every time she talked. And Babalu kept saying, oh my God, shut up. And we're only getting little bits of that. And it's not like anybody is really, she's sort of like standing there, like yelling, everybody look at me, everybody look at me, everybody look at me. And rather than recognize, well, we're all busy doing something, we're just going to yell louder. We're just going to be more obnoxious about it. She's going to be a problem. Or they're giving her a really good story arc of where she'll figure this out, you know, whereas like, you know, she reminds me of Laganja, mm-hmm. in some ways. And, you know, the difference is Laganja never really seemed to learn her lesson on the season. Mm-hmm. So maybe they're starting her off in that Laganja territory where she will get it, and where eventually everybody will look at her and say, you got to stop because we can't take it anymore. And she'll get it, you know, similar to All-Star 4, where Monique said to Farrah, girl, I love you, but your crying annoys me. Mm-hmm. You didn't see Farrah cry the rest of the season. So if somebody can take her aside and girl, turn it down, maybe then we'll like her. Because there are people out there that really, really like her. And there are people out there that are defending her and say that she is enjoyable at brunches when she hosts them. And that, you know, that she is a great queen. We're also seeing people that have a lot of problems with her out in different bars and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I said a lot. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious what your take on all of this is.
Would you say that you took over and all the attention had to be on you?
Just now?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, clearly. Okay. Because I pulled a cookie out of my bra and was eating it while I was talking.
Look, here's the deal. Is people were in love with Silky Nutmeg Ganache. They were already crowning her after the Queen's announcement. Right, because I guess she performed really well during the interview, mm-hmm. and was very funny and very likable. From what I've seen, everyone's already turned on her. She's already taken to like even beyond Eureka level of extraness. Okay,
yeah.
What's funny is in the interim between that love and the premiere of the show, there was a drama. I don't know if you're aware of. I think it's even kind of still going on. It's probably died down by now. Between Shea Coulee and her husband. And Silky Nutmeg Ganache. Okay?
Something. Okay. I think I know what you're talking about, but I'm not sure. Mm-hmm.
In a nutshell.
So share with the children.
Yeah. In a nutshell, I'll explain.
In a nutmeg, I'll explain
that Shay's husband is also puts on drag shows in the Chicago area. And tried to book Silky to host a show. Silky wasn't happy with the price. Turned him down. And she was performing in the state at the same time in Chicago. And after her show, she and some friends went to that club that night, that drag night that he hosts or runs. Uh-huh. And according to Shay's boyfriend, the show hadn't even premiered yet, and she was already pulling the "Let me in without a cover, me and my friends without a cover. Don't you know who we are? I'm on season 11. And Silky came back with like a video and a whole social media response that this simply was not true. that this simply did not is not how it happened, that he was mad because she turned him down because he only offered her $50 to do the show, and that he was taking it out on her, that she did go there, but that she was tired, she wanted to go home, and that they just let her in with no cover because they recognized her, and so they went in, she took advantage of the hospitality, and that she was so disappointed with the show that she went home, well, she went across the street and got a sandwich, right? She didn't even stay. And I will say that before the episode aired, I was giving her the benefit of the doubt. I was sort of believing her over Shay's husband. But now, having watched the episode, I 100% believe Shay and her husband. 100%. I think 100% everything that just happened, the way the husband said, happened. I think she pulled Ironwood Season 11, don't charge me a cover. I think everything that he said happened. Just based on her extra behavior. It was annoying. It was uncalled for. If I was as Miley Cyrus, I would have jumped off of her and said, you're going home. I'm a judge. And I would have revealed myself and said, sashay away. I can't believe no girls have confronted her yet. That's been the most shocking part. And I think what's going to happen is there's going to be a big showdown in Untucked or in the workroom where basically there's going to be a come to Jesus talk with her. Like, bitch, you need to work it out. This is really annoying. And I wouldn't be surprised if she plays the victim. And if she's like, no one likes me, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what her reaction is going to be. But this can't... I'll tell you what. If, from an editing standpoint, if this didn't come to a head, the editors would be making the dumbest mistake of their life because it's unbearable. In other words, you know that they think it's annoying. So if it was that annoying, they would have limited it and then made it come out later in the storyline. But the fact that they're bringing... I think it's coming to a head very soon. I think she's going to get... something happened to her where she gets where for in real life there's an attitude check and they're in Untucked they say
fuck you, bitch!
And she learns the lesson. All right, over on Patreon, let me just tell you this. This is gonna be a short one because there's so much to say here. You can get this episode commercial free and uncut. Yes, the Patreon episodes are longer than what you get in the feed. You get like today. Taylor and I did a whole segment on Hamburger Mary's. I don't know why I'm doing the ads for Hamburger Mary's on the Patreon show, but to benefit from all this and all the shows, all the other 17 shows I have, head on over to patreon.com/dragracerecap and join at the $3 level. That's right, that patreon.com/dragracerecap. All right, at this point, we are going to take a break. We'll be back right after this. And we're back. And now, Taylor, it's time for the looks. Did I share the document with you? Do you have the looks in front of you? Do you have the looks?
No, you did not share the document with me. But that's fine. I remember the looks from... But what we're doing is we're doing it slightly different. Is we're only talking about the tops and the bottoms for right now, right?
Yeah, that's all there is to talk about, Taylor.
Hey.
Yeah.
I want to talk about tops. I could talk about tops all day.
Like the kind that the Jews have, like the not the so Jews, just regular Jewish people. The dreidel, dreidel. I made it out of clay.
The yarmulkes.
What?
The tops. Oh, the tops like the spit.
Oh my god!
I thought you meant like Jewish hats, like a yarmulke. Well, send your letters to Taylor at DragRaceRecap. Okay. Why don't I have my own email?
Wait, what? What do you mean?
Why don't I have my own email?
Email? What are you talking about? Your own email where?
I in case people want to send me stuff.
Do you want your own email?
No, but I should have one.
Do you really want one?
We don't have at dragracerecap.com, do we, for emails?
You could if you want, yeah.
Would I have to pay for it?
No, I would, but go ahead.
Oh, you have to pay for it? Oh, then I want one. I want one.
Someone's pay goes down $5 a month. Okay. All right, Taylor. I shared with you the document. It should have the looks in them.
Okay. And is that it? Where am I looking at that? Google Drive?
I just shared it with you. I don't know where you on your email.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't have my email open.
Oh, well, someone's not ready.
someone didn't send me the document till now.
This never happens on All Right Mary.
No, no. Or What the Tuck.
Or What the Tuck, or... Never mind.
You know where this never happens? The other Hello Uglies.
You're right. It doesn't. Okay. I'm here in the looks. I got it ready.
Okay. I'm still loading it. So you start talking about the looks. I can tell you some stuff about it.
Well, you're the one that chose the tops and the bottoms. This is your segment.
I thought you meant the tops and the bottoms that not the people that were safe.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay. Well, I'm waiting for my email to open up.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one that was up in the people that weren't sent to the back was Plastique Tiara. Plastique Tiara's outfit was based on Sasha Velour. And it was her typical silhouette, or what she refers to as her signature silhouette, which was sort of a bodysuit that had a long flowy cape behind it. And it was Rose inspired, which I've seen some people say that really was more Valentina than Sasha Velour.
Yeah, I agree. I thought the same thing.
As far as her look.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pretty look. I think Plastique Tiara is gorgeous. She's very cute as a boy, but she's beautiful as a girl. And my hope is that we see something different. I have a feeling if she comes out in this same silhouette next week, Michelle is going to read her to filth. So I hope that we see different looks from her. But she looks great.
Here's what I'm going to say. And now maybe this was in her box. I don't know. In her big furry pink box. Okay. Don't you think if you were going to mix Sasha's look with yours... That fucking bitch wore a goddamn crown on her bald head every fucking episode of that season.
That's a great point.
Why wasn't there a little crown on her head?
Yeah, that's a great point. Or more with I know that she had sort of the rose on her, but to have had something with rose petals, where maybe she had something where she kind of threw rose petals around her or something. I mean, that is such an iconic moment of the show and of who Sasha is. But you're right, the jughead crown that she used to wear all the time, that would have added to the look.
All right, who's next, Taylor? All right, toot the boot for you. Sorry.
She was a toot. She was definitely a toot. So the next look the next look on the line was Brooklyn Heights, who came out like Detox. She was in a dark navy blue latex bodysuit that was highlighted with neon yellow or green. It definitely showed up as sort of like an acid green, looked more like highlighter yellow on my screen, but I'm wondering if it was more acid green. I love this color combination just in life, and I love that it was very superhero inspired. So I thought she looked great, and she definitely... I think she should have won, so definitely a toot.
She looks like a bottle of New West cologne from like the 90s. Remember that cologne?
Okay, but I like that aesthetic, so...
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, toot for me.
All right. So the next one up was Akiria. I'm watching the video right now, and Akiria hasn't come up yet. But Akiria Davenport, who was wearing a brown bodysuit and she had 5 wigs done to her head, stapled to the top of her head, looking very anti-entity, Tina Turner, Mad Max Thunderdome. I thought she looked great. She looked sort of like a showgirl in that sort of a party, like a circus pony girl. She was really pretty. And I loved all of the hair on top of each other, particularly the white hair at the top, which gave her that extra something. I'm looking at it now, it's all brown and gold, and she looks beautiful, and I definitely give this a toot.
All right, very good. I liked it. I liked it. Every time I've seen this episode multiple times, every time I watch it, I liked it more and more. I think when I first saw it, I was like meh, and then by the time I'm like, yes bitch, work. So yes, a big toot for me.
All right. So next up on the runway, I believe, was Soju, who came out wrapped in about 85 yards of tulle, and then had a piece of fabric that looks like she almost kind of super glued around her waist, wearing flats because she apparently had tendonitis. the hair.
Oh, is that what she was? I didn't get what she was saying there. Okay.
Yeah, she was talking about tendon. I saw something where she responded on Twitter saying that she couldn't walk in heels because she had tendonitis, I guess, in her legs, as well as the apparent cyst issue, which we haven't talked about yet. Mm-hmm. But she also had like overdone purple lips and red hair. I saw somebody on Reddit said she looked like if Kimmy Schmidt got stung by a bee. I'm not taking credit for that, but I did laugh when I saw it.
Yeah.
The whole thing was just a huge mess. And definitely, I would agree this was the worst look of the night. So mm-hmm. I would say this is a boot.
Horrible. What's funny is you can tell from even when she's in the confessional with the producer, why would you tell a producer like, oh, I don't have to use any padding and I don't have to cinch? Okay, yeah. Now we have our storyline, then you're going to be in the bottom. And it, for the first one, and I don't know if I buy the tendonitis thing. I'm not lying. I don't think I buy it. I think she does not. I actually think people came down on Ariel Versace for asking her if she actually performed, and we saw this problem. And not because they're Korean, but because Kim was an Instagram queen, she didn't know how to walk in heels because she didn't need to. And because mm-hmm. Soju does drag for these YouTube shows, she doesn't necessarily need to walk in heels. So I don't think she felt comfortable walking in heels. So I think there's this tendonitis, quote, I was doing air quotes there, that she has.
Yeah.
I don't know if I buy the bullshit.
The difference is, though, with Kimchi turned out the looks.
No, she did. You're right.
Kimchi was just amazing. And I think that while she definitely had the weird walk in heels and stuff like that, it became endearing that she couldn't walk in heels versus this dumpster fire of an outfit that mm-hmm. Soju had on. So, okay. So next up is Mercedes Iman Diamond, okay. who has on a blue bodysuit. We're seeing a lot of bodysuits where she has floral pattern as a cape and as sleeves. Her makeup is completely different from the cheek up than the cheek down.
Oh.
It just not good. Somebody said she looked like a prostitute at SeaWorld. I believe Carson said that, which went to see it. I forget who was she trying to, whose box did she have?
She had, I could tell you that actually.
Was it Bianca's?
She had Bianca's. You think she's going to do a clown thing?
I didn't get clown.
I think Bianca had a dress with that pattern.
Well, it almost looks sort of like the first outfit, like when she did like the tiki party pattern. It just the whole look was, if this was like a superhero inspired, I might like this more. And if the makeup was done a little different, because I'm definitely a winter as far as enjoying that color body of colors. Mm-hmm. So you would think I would enjoy this more than I did. And it was honestly forgettable. Mm-hmm. As we're sitting here, as I'm looking through the video, I totally forgot she was in the bottom. So that's almost more of a crime than the execution of it. So
you want to hear a mean joke?
Sure.
Okay.
I don't get it. Joe!
I told you it was a mean joke.
Joe, that was mean.
I warned you. I said I had a mean joke. I said,
I was not expecting that. Not nice. Not nice.
If you want to hear that whole joke, go on to patreon.com/dragracerecap and join at the $3 level. I'm not joking. Patreon will get that joke. It's not going to go out on the air. Okay. Any other looks?
So next we had Vanessa Vanjie Matteo, who came out dressed as Valentina. She came out in a red lace, again, bodysuit with the cape at the waist, mm-hmm. had roses in her hair, and she had like pasties over her chest, which I did not quite get.
Mm-hmm.
I was not crazy about this look.
Mm-hmm.
I don't quite get why it was one of the top four. I think they were just trying to sort of redeem her mm-hmm. for the first episode back. But if she was in the top four, she was number four.
Mm-hmm.
She was very close to safe material for that. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give it a boot. I didn't like it.
Oh, she gets a boot.
Yeah. What do you think?
I think the problem might be Vanessa. And what I mean is her, she has what, I'll bet you she used to be fat. I'll tell you why. I feel this will happen to me at the end of Fat Camp, where I'm going to have a big giant head and a tiny body. And I feel Vanessa has that. I feel she has a big giant head and a tiny body. And so she has to be mindful of that when she does her outfits. I don't think she's aware of it. And so often I think that's why the dress didn't work last time. I think often her proportions seem off if she's not careful.
Yeah.
Because she looked great when she walked in, but this one, again, I'm looking at the picture right now, she looks like a big head. It looks like a different body.
Like a lollipop.
Yeah, like a lollipop.
Yeah. All right. So next up is Nina West.
Okay, Nina West.
With an outfit inspired by Thorgy Thor. She looked like a busted Bette Midler and a pepperoni pizza had a baby. Uh-huh. It's not, the wig is horrible. The makeup is horrible. The outfit with, I don't get what the little rosettes are supposed to be. They look like pepperoni on a pizza. The whole thing is just very, from how polished she looked when she walked in the yellow outfit with the black and the shoulder pads and everything to this is a huge letdown.
Where is the Thorgy in this? Where are the jokes? Where's the Thorge?
Where are the jokes? The joke is the outfit. Maybe the eyes, maybe the makeup. She was kind of trying to be inspired by that. And it's maybe because Thorgy often wears metallics and things that are very shiny. Maybe that's where she was going with this. But it's not good. And I appreciate the fact, though, that she gets that she was in, that she should have been in the bottom and that she was not happy with the look. Tears notwithstanding. However, I think she should have had to go up against Soju to lip sync.
Interesting, because the people on Reddit have a different take, but go ahead.
Okay, what are people on Reddit saying?
Well, we can bring up this look because I'm sure you don't have it. They felt that they would have totally swapped out Mercedes Iman Diamond with Silky Nutmeg Ganache.
We're not talking about the safe looks.
I know.
As far as that look that Silky had, Silky should have been in the bottom. Absolutely should have been in the bottom, especially because people are talking that the top of the neckline was clearly safety pinned, and there was nothing hiding the safety pin. So I agree, but we're just talking about the ones that we have in front of us.
Sure are.
In which case, then, if that's the case, if we're going by who the judges picked, Nina should have been in the bottom two.
All right, very good. And who's next?
Next up is Kahana.
Oh, Kahana Montreal.
Kahana wearing her outfit inspired by Katya. I think the sin in this is that it's boring. It's just where she kind of took I'm literally going to take half of my look and half of what I would consider to be a Katya look and combine them. Rather than meld them together, I'm going to do where I almost look like I'm slit down the middle. And it's boring. That's really all there is to it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a boot. It's boring. It is weird that the stones don't go all the way up. It's bizarre. And I hate to say this, and maybe this is the look she's going for. I don't know. It seems like she's showing off. I would love to know what she's trying to go for, is what I'm trying to say. Because it looks like she's trying to show off her manly arms, but it distracts from how pretty. It makes her look manly. Now, maybe she's going for that. Maybe she's going for a gender fuck kind of thing. I don't know, but because she calls it like a hip-hop whore. What did she call it again? Hip-hop prostitute or something? That's what she calls her look. But yeah. Hip-hop hooker? I don't know what it is. But the point is, like, she looks, I don't know, it's not a good look. I don't like it.
No, it's not. Well, I mean, when she came into the workroom, she sort of has that Cameron Michaels bodybuilder type, where I mean, where she's solid. She's a solid dancer, so she has a solid dancer's body. So maybe that is something where she's doing a little. I would almost say Evie's more gender fuck than Kahana is.
That's why. So then I think she's failing. I think she's going for a showgirl, but then you got to cover up them arms if they're that muscular.
Yeah.
Remember J. Jolie didn't pick anything hot, bigger than 5 pounds?
Yeah. So she had those little slender arms.
Yeah.
So, okay. And that's the main looks, but we got to talk about RuPaul's look.
Sure. Go ahead.
She looked like some weird Holly Hobby, Laura Ingalls, acid trip, that the dress was wretched. The dress was absolutely wretched. And the hair was, she looked very, and this is a word I don't normally use to describe RuPaul. She looked heavy. And I don't mean weight heavy. It's just the hair and the dress with the sleeves and everything. She just looked like it all weighed, it, like it added 40 pounds of weight to her to like walk down the runway. Mm-hmm. And it just was not a good look. I don't know what happened here, but I wasn't all about it at all. Like where we both went, oh, when she came around the corner mm-hmm. before they did runway.
No, it was
whereas
bad.
The last couple of weeks where it's all been legs and you know, the blown out hair and everything. And she's been beautiful. And so many people have been commenting positively about this. Mm-hmm. It sucks that we're seeing because if this is going to be the theme of her season, the girl's in trouble. Mm-hmm. Because everybody seemed to feel so positively about the all-star looks. Mm-hmm. If they film this ahead of time, then she's in for a lot of critiques, a lot of not great critiques this season.
Yeah.
No, what about you?
It wasn't good. No, it wasn't good. I was very unimpressed with Rue's look this week. But look, they all can't be gems.
Yeah, but I mean, she's the showcase.
Yeah,
you want to root for all of the queens, mm-hmm. but you really want to root for Rue looking great because it's hard to take Rue seriously when she's wearing a ridiculous dress.
That was a rough one. That was a rough spot in the world of RuPaul's Drag Race. That might be where she jumped the shark. All right, Taylor, are those the looks?
Those are the looks.
Those are the looks. All right. On the main stage, Soju, Kahana, Nina, and Mercedes were in the bottom, while Plastique, Brooklyn Heights, Akuria, and Vanjie were in the top four. On the judges panel, there was a lot of crying and telling of life stories, but it was Soju who talked about a leaking cyst that won the night. After that's the only thing she won. After the judges' deliberation, Brooklyn Heights was named the winner of the challenge, while Soju and Kahana Montrese were forced to battle it out in a lip-sync battle for their lives. The song, Best of Both Worlds by Miley Cyrus. In the end, Kahana knew the words and Soju did not, thus giving RuPaul no other choice and ask Soju to sashay away. Taylor the Latte Boy, any final thoughts on the episode?
Okay.
Yeah.
The lip sync mm-hmm. was hard to watch.
Hard to watch.
Hard to watch as far as Soju's inability, where she looked like Vanjie did last season. When Vanjie had to lip sync, where Vanjie looked terrified mm-hmm. and Vanjie looked overwhelmed, Soju just had this look on her face of "I don't know how the fuck did I get here?" Mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Yeah.
Between not knowing the words, it almost looked at one point like the skirt fell, and she was like kind of holding onto it to keep it from falling off.
Uh huh.
You know, and then you've got Kahana next to her where she's doing backflips and she's doing very Kahana was enjoyable to watch. I would almost say Kahana's lip sync was a very safe interpretation mm-hmm. of drag. It felt very, you know, and I use this phrase to talk about other queens, but it felt very Central Florida, little stage. Mm-hmm. We're going to do a lot of the big arm movements and we're going to throw out one flip that's going to make everybody scream and we're going to kind of, when we walk, we're going to lean backwards. And it wasn't a great way to start a season as far as a lip sync goes.
Yeah.
As far as the contestants as a whole and talking on Untucked, mm-hmm. there was a moment. Did you watch Untucked?
I sure did. Hit on the Latte Boy.
Okay. There was a moment where the safe queens were all in the back talking mm-hmm. or trying to talk. And then Silky was talking over all of them. And there was discussion about the future, their futures on the show. And by that, I mean their futures on the show past this mm-hmm. first episode, like where Silky is assuming that she'll be asked back for season 12 if she were to go home. And they're talking about which of them, you know, well, you know, if I end up back, if I end up on All Stars. Mm-hmm. And that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that concerns me as a listener and as somebody who, you know, watches the show with love, because I want for the queens that are in it to be in it. And by that, I mean season 11. And not just looking at this as a platform, but looking at this as they want to win to be America's Next Drag Superstar. Mm-hmm. So, and we've talked about that as the seasons have gone on, there has been more recognition that there are cameras.
Yeah.
And there is recognition of the fact that what I do here will affect how people will think of me outside of, you know, and my marketability and my ability to get gigs, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. The fact that this group of girls was talking about what they're planning on doing with the show. I mean, Silky's first thing is, I expect a spinoff. You know,
yeah.
like that's like the first thing she says. Hi, my name is Silky Nutmeg, and I'm expecting a spinoff, and I'm expecting a cooking show, and I'm expecting all these different things. There's something about that that concerns me. You know, you and I kind of talked earlier about whether or not this show has jumped the shark.
Mm-hmm.
And my concern is that we might be starting to see the top of a fin.
Mm-hmm.
And we might be starting to see where people are not on it to increase the craft and increase the to expand the realm of what drag is, but they're just looking at it as a, well, even if I go home fourth, I know that I'm still going to at least book gigs
mm-hmm.
nationally and that kind of stuff. And that makes me sad for the show. I don't want that to be what this is. And if that's the way these girls are going to be all season, it's going to be a different Taylor talking about this season than I have in previous ones.
Interesting. Well, you know what's so funny is I'm going to get back to the Miley thing. Remind me to get back to the Miley thing before we go. But we saw the first signs of this back in season six. If you remember, Magnolia Crawford openly said, "I'm only here for the exposure," and all the other queens like judged her and side-eyed her and thought that was so atrocious that she wasn't there for the competition, that she was just there for the exposure. And now it seems the table has flipped. If a queen said in Untucked, "I'm really just here for the competition, I don't care about the exposure," I think everybody would laugh in her face. So it shows you how much that has changed. It's one of these things where, yes, maybe that's what we miss is, it does seem nowadays, as opposed to like season six and before, even season seven, is queens who are now they're there more for the social media boost that they're going to get, as opposed to actually winning the title of America's Next Drag Superstar. Yeah. And in their eyes, they've already won and they're already counting their riches. The problem, though, is they're adding to another pile. They don't see that the, and I'm not predicting doom and gloom for the show. Actually, I'm not. I'm just saying the show has changed dramatically since VH1 took over. You know, it's so funny. One of our listeners, Musing Mark, wrote on Twitter and tagged the show in it. And he said he wanted me to expand or you to expand on the jumping the shark and when it happened. And I seem to remember us talking about Sasha Velour's big moment in season 9 finale when she took the wig off and the rose came out. Were you the one that said that you thought that was the jump the shark moment?
I might have, yeah.
Yeah. But you could also maybe point to, again, they happened around the same time, is that when VH1 takes over the show. And the tenor of the show, I think, kind of changes because Logo was fine just having, in other words, when Logo was the network, RuPaul just sort of ran, you know, all over Logo. You know, she basically just ran that network. And so she was like, "I'll do RuPaul's Drag Race when I want to do RuPaul's Drag Race." And he did it once a season and that was it, you know?
Yeah.
VH1 takes over and RuPaul now is doing all these all-stars and they're doing a very VH1 thing where they're just going to run this show into the ground and just overexpose it until it's dead. They're going to suck all the life out of it. Now, yeah. I think there could be a while left before that happens, but before the exhaustion sets in. But one of the early things we're going to see is, you know, instead of 15 brand new queens a year, we're now going to see at least 30, maybe 45 a year. So your ability to stand out among the pack is going to be, you're going to see diminishing returns from your exposure to the show. Now it's just going to become an assembly line of drag queens that they suck everything out of them that they need and then just toss them aside. And then that leaves more queens for Murray and Peter. You know, there's a whole controversy right now going on with Murray and Peter, who are producers. They put on shows where they fired Monet from this whole haters roast. Because she elected to skip one show to go to the Madonna to film a music video for Madonna.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the queens have responded talking about how horrible this Murray and Peter are. You're always hearing stories about how horrible they are. And you know that the only ones benefiting from all these queens are Murray and Peter, who they can just pick and choose, and they're going to be all these queens. In fact, someone said the reason people put up with Murray and Peter is because they're the ones offering work for all these Drag Race queens. There's nothing for them to do. You know, yeah. Who's asking for Komora Black to perform? So she, it's almost like a drug. She needs to come back and essentially suck RuPaul's proverbial dick so that she gets more airtime and hopefully pumps life into her career. It's going to become really sad. And so what's funny is the people who were actually benefiting from the Drag Race boost saw it as a competition, and the people who think they're getting a Drag Race boost don't realize that all the pieces have already been given out and the inflation has set in, and their boost is worth a lot less than it used to be. I want them.
Okay. Well, I mean, go ahead. All right. So let's talk about that for a second. We're in season 11.
Sure are.
Right. Mm-hmm. Who were the first three queens that went home on season 10?
The first three queens that went home on season 10. Vanessa Vangie-Matteo. Calorie Kardashian Williams. And
that's a problem. That's Dusty, a problem Dusty, that you can't.
Oh, no. The Asian one.
No, she went home this time.
No. What was her name? Oh, my God. I can't remember her name.
Yuha
Hamasaki. But there, okay. I can't remember her name. And she's the one that, oh, my God, poor Yuha. So embarrassing at this drag can. You know, if you guys don't know this, World of Wonder charges the drag queens for their booth at DragCon. And a lot of the queens, what they do is they'll just all chip in together, unless they're a big name like Trixie or something, and they'll chip in together and get their own little booth. It's very, you know, it's just almost like a little booth. And then they share. They go, I'll do this hour from this hour and whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Now, there are people like Trixie and big names who they ran out the booth themselves, but like Trixie had a line around the building. Alaska did too, you know?
Yeah.
And Yuha paid like a lot of money for like a Trixie sized booth. And she even had people like they could do VIP passes and no one bought them. And like, because she thought like, oh, so that we can skip the line. And it's just like, it was just so sad. She was sitting there. No one wanted Yuha Hamasaki. Why did she think everybody would be so excited to see her?
That's exactly what you're saying, is that she just sort of assumed, like, I think a lot of these girls assume that they're going to be beloved. I am sure to some degree, Silky left the first couple of days that those episodes were taped thinking, I got this in the bag. Everybody in the world's going to, and you, you're going to love me. Mm-hmm. And she may be at this point thinking, oh shit, I'm getting a lot of really negative feedback from people. This did not go the way I expected it to.
But maybe she knows what's coming down that way. She knows what's coming down the pike. We don't.
No, I know, but I'm just saying in the moment, mm-hmm. when this was filmed back in May, like you said,
oh, yeah.
When she went back to her hotel room, she just thought, well, I've got this in the bag.
No, she doesn't realize. And who doesn't listen to What's the Tea? Silky Nutmeg Ganache, you can tell, is the poster child. And what Rue and Michelle talk about, now a lot of these queens are, but Silky is just to an extreme trying to produce herself. And ultimately, the more you try and produce yourself, the harder you fall.
You and I get that.
Stop.
But Silky in the moment didn't. But that's another example of what I'm talking about that was untucked. They were all talking, mm-hmm. when they were putting on their makeup, talking about how extra she's being and talking about she's trying to get screen time. They, you know, the more she acts out, the more the cameras are going to be on her. I feel like Ariel and somebody else was talking about that. So it's the camera has become, the producers have in a way, I feel this season, or at least this episode, become the 16th queen. have become part of the show, whereas before it was about the queens on the show. Mm-hmm. The show itself has almost become part of the vernacular, not vernacular, that's the wrong word, but part of the narrative. And I'm not crazy about that. I'm really not.
All right. Well, let's see how the episode plays out. One more thing before we go. Silky's reaction to Miley seemed genuine, but why would you look at the crew person and go, hold on, come here. You must be a celebrity undercover. Did you think
that was weird? I just heard her say, come on, come here. Not even the picking up part, but the where she had her right up in her face and screamed right in her face was my anxiety level through the roof. I was just like, I can't imagine somebody screaming that close to my face. But there might have been a genuine way. You could kind of see Silky putting the pieces together and realizing this is somebody. I didn't hear her say, you must be somebody.
No, she didn't. But I'm just saying that that's what you heard her inner dialogue say.
Uh-huh.
But why would you look at that crew member and go, like, even though you would go, like, maybe because she saw the boobs and the beard and she's like, there's something up. They did no attempt to hide Miley's boobs.
Well, but the rumor is that I saw was that they didn't, nobody was paying any attention to her, but they wanted to have that moment, which is why they had Miley go right up in somebody's face.
Oh, because they
went. She went up to Akira, right? Didn't she fix like Akira's mic? But then, if I remember correctly, Akira kind of looked at her for a second, like, wait a minute. And I feel like Silky picked up on that.
Yeah, you can. That's what I'm saying. It looked really real, but I just don't think if Miley Cyrus was doing like, I would just think, oh, look at this transgender person. I wouldn't think that must be Miley Cyrus. Also, the thing you hear is like, why did they go with which I don't mind, the Hannah Montana theme song. Why wouldn't they do? I don't think they've done Wrecking Ball on the show, have they?
That's what Trixie won All Stars to.
Oh, okay. Then how come
when she was ripping out her hair?
Oh, but then
another stupid floor length dress. But that's neither here nor there.
But then what about they've done Party in the USA? What could be? I mean, I guess that's a fine one. Then the only other, what else could they do?
The climb.
Oh, the climb. But yeah, but I think they probably wanted something kind of upbeat for the first episode.
Yeah,
you don't do like a big giant song like that at the first episode.
But what's the one? We can't stop. We won't stop.
Oh, but that's not. Isn't that Lord or something?
No, that's Miley Cyrus.
Oh, no, I was thinking about Royals. I'm old.
No, Royals.
All right. Well, that concludes this week's episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. Be sure to check your feed immediately after the West Coast premiere of each brand new episode for our first response, and then every Friday afternoon for the complete recap. Until then, for Tate of the Latte Boy and myself,
sashay away. Until next week.
Want to share your thoughts about Drag Race? Email us at dragracerecap@gmail.com. For up-to-the-minute news about the show, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Drag Race Recap. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/dragracerecap. For bonus content and to support the show, head over to patreon.com/dragracerecap. Taylor has his own podcast. It's called Pod Is My Copilot, and you can find it at podismycopilot.com or wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow Taylor on Twitter and Instagram at PIMC Taylor. Follow Joe Batance on Instagram and Twitter at Joe Batance. That's BETANCE. The outro music was written by Lucian Piani and arranged and performed by Alex Lefebvre. You can find Alex Lefebvre on Instagram at Alex Lefebvre Music. To find all of our old episodes, visit our website at dragracerecap.com. You can also find other Afterthought Media shows like Hello Uglies at hellouglies.com and Catching Up at catchinguppodcast.com. Drag Race Recap is an Afterthought Media production.